the dollar has remained fairly strong. It's right up there near one,
very strong,
100
yeah.
on the USD. And why?
97 and 98 keeps floating around in that range.
Because it's still the cleanest dirty shirt. I mean, it's the best one around, huh?
That's it. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So we look around the world and we say, okay, what's the safe haven? Now, if you're an investor and let's say, for example, you're currently worried that there's going to be volatility in the stock market, well, then by default, you can buy a dollar-based investment like a U.S. Treasury. So you can purchase something from the U.S. government, and that strengthens the dollar when you do that because you're buying up the debt of the United States. And even though the interest payments you're getting is minimal, let's say you're getting 2.1% on a 10-year, that means you have to hold it for 10 years to get that 2.1%. The bet is that if you left that money in the stock market might go down 20 or 30% in the same period of time. So even though 2% is not particularly attractive, it's better than losing 30% of your money.
Huh. Fred Jaszewski's here. He is the head proprietor there at SDL Now. His number is 800-468-2646. Fred, so what about, you got any little specials going right now? And what about, tell folks about what, are you still sending out CDs, right, and different things?
Absolutely. Yeah, we put together three CDs. One was called The Definition of Money, which we had done many, many years ago because we needed to go back and actually, for people who had not really looked at this before, we wanted to start with defining a few basic terms. Like, for example, what is a dollar? What is money? And I think people needed to kind of get a sense of that because there was a period of time in American history up through the 1970s, it was not a concern of the general public. You didn't have to worry about what your dollar was. You had a gold or silver-backed dollar. It was a substantive form of currency that would survive. You could earn it today, put it away for your future, pull it out, and you could still buy the same amount of goods and services later on. We don't have that anymore. So the second CD was on the history of the Federal Reserve, because once we recognized what a dollar was, we then wanted to look at what creates the value of the dollar, and the most important entity in defining the future value of a U.S. dollar is definitely the Federal Reserve System, the central bank system of the United States. The third CD was called Protecting Your Wealth, which was sort of, after reviewing CD 1 and 2, if one would reach the conclusion that there is this flaw in the current system, what do you do? How do you preserve wealth over time? And nothing stands the test of time better than gold and silver coins. Nothing.
Nothing.
Not
nothing. This is nothing. Fred's number there is 800-468-2646. Let them know that you're One Radio Network listeners, and they'll take extra good care of you, but they take good care of everybody. Let us know if you can help, and just give them a buzz. 800-468-2646. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We have learned over these many years that these the far infrared saunas and are just pretty remarkable units to detoxify in so many different ways. Now, the sweat that comes out from your little skin, right? Your little skin that you shower off after you do it, there has been proven that you can, Professor Rayo in Switzerland, he's worked a lot with it. They've actually taken the sweat and measured the amount of metals and toxins in the sweat after the sauna and before, which is pretty cool. They've also done research where you measure the amount of different heavy metals in the urine, you know, that comes out, so many milligrams per whatever, you know, how they measure these things. And then you do the sauna, check this out, and after 30 minutes you do the urine again, and there's a big increase in the amount of toxins, heavy metals and stuff that come out in the urine just by doing the sauna. So the body detoxifies on many levels with the sauna, in the urine and through the sweat, and I suspect through the feces. I don't know if that's ever been measured, but it's a good thing to do. I do them sauna almost every day of my life, even when it's 90 degrees in Texas. It's not as motivating to jump in a sauna when it's 90 degrees or 70 degrees at night, but once you get in, what does it matter? You know, they're a little more fun to do when it's really super cold, but you know, during the summer, it's really important to detoxify as well, because you know, there's probably a lot of good arguments to say people probably sweat less in the summer in many regards because they just don't go outside as much, and they sit around their air conditioning and just chill out until it cools off. So these saunas are great. We offer the RelaxFar infrared sauna. Please don't be fooled by what are called knockoffs. They look exactly like our sauna. They sell them for $600 on Amazon and everywhere, but they're just not it. Technology with these far infrared technology that we use was created in a medical university in Taiwan. It's won several awards. They worked on it for a long time. They really know what they're doing to get the in there and get deep in there. You want to make sure you get the real deal. It's the RelaxFar infrared sauna. Momentum out there. Phil is the sole distributor. We have a special price on them that I can only do orally. I can't put it in print. $9.95 delivered in the lower 48. We ship them all over the world. If you'd like to get one, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And regardless of where you live, we'll hook you up. I think it's fair to say that most of us would like to have more energy to do what we do. We recently talked with Living Streams' Wayne Blakely about this idea. So the body's set up to get rid of pathogens or toxins if it has the bacteria or the biome?
Bacteria and the nutrients. That's what it does. What the digestive is. It's 70 to 80% of your immune system, your digestive tract. Backup systems are your antibodies. That's when everything else fails. And the primary system is your digestive tract.
If the digestive system is so compromised because of all whatever glyphosates, antibiotics, and all the things we stress and bad food and whatever, then the body will produce antibodies to try to protect it from assaults?
That when it gets overgrown, instead of balancing the body like it's supposed to, it gets into a critical stage where the antibody starts to reduce. So when your body creates an antibody, it takes more energy to create an antibody than any other function of the body. It has to create it from scratch. The antibodies are working overtime on everybody. And that's why everybody's so tired all the time. That's one of the reasons.
Could be one of the reasons why many people, including Patrick, feels better and has more energy taking these Living Streams probiotics. If you'd like to learn more, you can call Marilyn at 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981 with Living Streams. She'll give you some particular information about various probiotics in the Living Streams corral of products, and they're all in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. They certainly are all in our store. And Multi-Blend, Elisterma Gold, Flora PM, and the Perfect Molecule are all on sale. Buy two, get one free. It's kind of a different kind of thing. Buy two, get one free. It's only for the next few days. Go in our store. You'll see the ones that are on sale. On sale in our store. Buy two, get one free. I think through the 7th. Previously, we talked with Brandon Amalani about his Blue Shield product to protect against EMFs in your home.
The more connected we are, the more electromagnetic radiation we're going to have. So years ago, I'd play with Q-Links and just anything I can get my hands on that, whether I felt it working or not, I just wanted some kind of leverage against electromagnetic radiation and those frequencies and how they affect the cellular biology. But then when I met Mark and started really getting deep to his technology and really looking at the microprocessing technology, I've never found any EMF company that would not only to test on not only human blood and urine analysis, but also on animals, which totally weeds out the idea of placebo effect. I mean, the fact that you can plug these devices into a chicken farm, a factory farm, for about 15,000 laying hens, and all of a sudden the mortality rate, which is averages from 60 to 150 deaths per month, goes down to zero. I mean, it's pretty profound that a little device, a little energy device, could actually like create such a harmony and balance within the environment to where claustrophobic chickens that are crammed in together actually get along better and actually feel better. The biological markers are improved over that 1 year study.
There's quite a bit of science with this Blue Shield product. You can see the ad on the front page. Promo code One Radio will get you a 10% discount. This works on the cells in the body. Very cool technology. Front page, Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Thomas Cowan, one of our favorite fellows, he is a really big fan of colostrum. I think you could even put in colostrum, Thomas Cowan, and read some of the things that he's been working with, and he sells some. But I want you to buy ours, please. We have a great one, Daniel Vitalis, and he has been selling colostrum. Well, we've been promoting it for about, I guess, probably 11 years. I've known Daniel for a really long time. So many good immune function things that's going on with the colostrum. Really, really nice product to boost your immune system, the growth factors. So many benefits from it, including helping the gut to repair itself. A lot of folks like to take a little colostrum before they go out to eat. It helps everything happen down there more gently. You know what I mean? Jelly bean. It's really a nice product, and you can get it on any of these Sirthrival links, oneradionetwork.com. I think you get 1 and 2 kilo. Just kind of load up there, and it's a colostrum from Sirthrival. Nice product. And this is also from Sirthrival, the Elk Velvet Antler.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support, improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in mirror on glass, our elk antler is available in 3 strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
Well. I don't know if this means anything to you, but I've been doing the elk velvet antler and pine pollen for about 10 years, pretty regularly, more so the elk velvet. I just did a huge blood test with Dr. Tom Lewis. We'll talk about it more on open phones. Huge test. I mean, it was like 50 markers that you can do with Dr. Lewis too. There's a little link, and he's got this whole score that he does, which is really cool. Goes through every marker, and the perfect score is 98.6, and mine came out to like 101 perfect. So he was pretty impressed with all that. So all the good stuff that I'm doing, it's everything's just working pretty fine. My cholesterol number is 200, which is kind of low, but I can get up anyway. So it may be a testament to the products that I've been promoting. I don't know. It's just because I'm a happy guy. Anyway, we'll talk more about it on open phones. But if you'd like to try some of the products that we promote, we know the people, we know the source. I think you'll enjoy them. Look around. We've got a lot of great products, including Shen Blossom and Sirthrival.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, we're with Fred Jaszewski, who is the head man there at SDL now, SDL at 800-468-2646. Let's do some more emails and carry a few more things before we go here, Fred. Okay, this is great. I knew somebody was going to come up with this one. Leon says, I'm enjoying the show. Thanks for Fred sitting in. What does Fred think the price of gold will be a year from now? Do you have a crystal ball?
Oh, future projections. Wow.
Yeah, what did Andy used
to
say?
I'm good at predicting everything.
Yeah, predicting everything but the future. That's right. Andy used to say, well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, there's no
telling. So many variables.
I mean, if you had to guess.
If I had to guess.
Like you're on a game show. You had to guess.
12 months from now. Yeah. Okay, things continue the way they're going. I'm going to say 1485.
Well, that's not, you're pretty conservative there, fella. And I would have said about $2,000, you know me.
Well, I don't know that that'll happen within that'll a happen. Year or not. Mm-hmm. It certainly could, but I know what's going to happen a year from now. Somebody's going to pull up this recording. So.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Fred, you want to call? What happened back then, a few years back, when it really boomed up really quickly? Do you recall that?
2011?
Was it? Yeah. What did it go to?
Well, gold went to 1,800. Silver went from 12, 15 bucks up to $46, $45 an ounce in a matter of like 3 months.
Yeah,
that was an interesting event. And now it occurred not mostly because of economic conditions, but because of futures and options trading.
Oh, the old futures thing.
So here's how it went. Let's say, for example, silver, if you didn't want to take physical possession but wanted to buy a contract, you could buy a position that would give you ownership of $100,000 worth of silver. And it cost, at the time, $4,100 out of pocket to own this $100,000 silver position.
It's pretty clever.
Yeah, so heavily leveraged, 20 to 1, right? And what happened is that a few big hedge funds, and I mean big, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, decided to take advantage of this massive gap in the difference between the outlaying of capital and the value of what you could purchase, and took thousands of positions at these $4,100 price levels and bought hundreds of thousands of dollars in silver positions based on that. And having done so, they began to drive the market price higher as the math started to add up, and the commodity exchange, which has to make good on contracts, started looking at the amount of physical silver in the world and realized that there isn't actually enough silver to fill demand for these contracts if at the end of the line, instead of asking for the money, the person who bought this silver contract wanted the actual silver. Knowing this, the investment bankers also began to buy physical silver off of the world market. Between the two, they did effectively what the Hunt brothers did in the early 1980s and cornered the market. And before long, prices of silver began to climb. And they were forced higher and higher and higher. And the same thing was happening with gold. Similar contracts existed in gold. Until the Chicago Board of Trade stepped up and said, well, wait a minute. We realize that there's a big problem here. And the problem is it's too cheap to buy this $100,000 silver position at $4,100. So we're going to raise it. We're going to raise the margin requirement from $4,100 to $6,250. And then to $8,700, then to $10,000, then to $15,000. Eventually, they ran it up to about $21,000. Wow. At $21,000, everybody who previously bought it for $4,100 got what they call a margin call from the brokerage house that said, you either A, have to put up this difference between what you paid and the current demand for the amount required, or B, sell your position. And by that time, silver had already been forced up to $40+. Those that had bought it early were buying it at 10, 12, 11, and said, yeah, we'll just sell. So everybody then subsequently sold these massive quantities of these options positions into the market, and the price of silver and gold plummeted. So we had a really interesting run just based on the ability to leverage the purchase of bullion without taking delivery in the use of options and futures contracts. The derivatives they're very powerful because they're so heavily leveraged. And again, if they go the right way for you, there is a fortune to be made. Of course, if anybody who bought a leveraged position at $40,
not very
and
happy.
It drops back to $15, they got their pants pressed.
Yeah. In this world economy, it's kind of fun to look at the world and do you think that let's go around the world a little bit. Do you think that the EU is ever going to let the UK out of this whole EU deal?
Oh, I think so.
You think they'll let him out?
I think so. I think it was a bad decision to do it, but sure. I don't know that the EU can actually stop, Britain from exiting. I just think it's going to be a lot more problematic, and it's going to create a lot of disruptions, and I don't think that they're really quite prepared for what really is the end result of it occurring. And as that reality got closer and closer, if you remember, this was supposed to have occurred several months ago.
Oh, a long time ago, right? I mean, they voted how, a year ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah, and it was actually supposed to kick in the end of March, and then they kicked it up now they've knocked it out till October, which I think was a smart idea, because I think the reality of the fact that there was going to be this massive disruption in the EU was enough to cause them pause and say, all right, we need some time to kind of figure this all out. I mean, look, it cost May her position there.
Yeah, she lost her. Well, the president's over there now saying, go. You guys should be nationalists.
Oh, sure.
You know how the president is. He's a nationalist boy.
Yeah.
So this is cool. You're going to love this one. You probably know that we've talked about it, that the EU has been kind of putting Italy in the corner with a dunce cap on, saying, you know, you guys give us $3 billion because you got too much debt. You know that.
Yeah, you're not holding up your end.
Yeah, you're not holding up your end. So they're going through this whole thing, and man, it's just been going back and forth. Now Salvini, who is one of the very, he's right up there, the country's deputy prime minister, he says, well, you just keep messing around with this. We're going to bring back this whole parallel currency. We think we should just go back and do the lira, and we'll have both of them in our country, and you know, we're going to fix it on our own, and you can't stop us.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, man, what a trip, what a guy, man. I don't know, if I was in a country, would you ever give up your own currency like these guys did?
No.
I mean, why would you do that?
I mean, you lose the sovereignty of your country. Yeah. I you know, suppose that the pitch to these countries was that a united European Union was stronger than any individual country, and it would alleviate some of the individual countries' financial problems, which were massive. You know, we know that Italy went through it, and a lot of the countries in Europe and the EU were facing the same kind of problems. So the thought process was, is okay, we combine our, you know, crap and put it all in one big pile, and we can kind of even it all out. I think the plan was okay. But actually, as a nationalist myself, I would never want to see the United States, for example, ever give up its own currency. We lose our sovereignty then to an entity larger than our own. So here is Italy facing that exact problem.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to expound on their own individuality, they can't. They're contractually obligated under these agreements to exist as part of the EU, and I don't think that the EU will allow them to run a lira alongside
the EU. How can they stop
the EU?
Them, really? You can't, what are you going to do?
Well, you know,
march in there with their army.
I'm sure they could apply, you know, economic pressures to them. Capital access is the easiest way I could see. You know, if they remove the ability for Italy to borrow money. Or create an environment where they don't have access to the stability of the whole EU and leave them dangling, you know, individually, and they don't get to participate in all the trade around the world with the EU or the stability of the EU itself. Yeah, I could see them coming up with multiple ways of applying pressure to Italy to prevent them from trying to do that.
Hey, Germany's kind of in an interesting position. Italy owes its creditors, mainly Germany, about 500 billion euros. That's a lot. Spain owns creditors, and primarily Germany, 400 billion. Germany needs to get about 100 billion or a trillion euros from its debtors. How come Germany's got so much money to be lending out? I mean, they're
much bigger and stronger economy. They produce a lot more goods and services that are sold around the world than Italy does.
That's right.
So they're a much, much bigger economy. Germany has always been the big boy of the block out there in Europe. You know, between Britain and Germany, they are the largest of the economies there. So Germany surpasses Italy's GDP by a vast margin. They're just much larger.
We've been talking about Deutsche Bank forever, and you think they're ever going to bomb out, Fred? I mean, it's amazing. Their stock is like non-existent, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, you know.
Well, they're
one of the oldest banks in the world, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. You know, things like stocks are based a lot on confidence. And if the, you know, ability to sustain that confidence falls apart, so does the ability to sustain the value of the stock. This is part of the problem I have with the current U.S. stock market, is that so much of the value in the current stock market is not based upon any kind of real economic fundamental. It is based more upon the perception of what the future holds. And this is why every day when there's a change in information, the Federal Reserve Chairman makes a statement, the President makes a statement, economic news comes out, manufacturing numbers come along, trade numbers come out, job numbers come out. Everything impacts the market instantly, and there's immediate reaction. And just look at how volatile we have seen in the past few weeks, what's been going on. 400 or 500 point swings daily in the stock market. It's a massive, massive movement, and it's because there's no foundation for the current value. It is all based on perception, and the perception is subject to change at a moment's notice. And if you'll notice that if, for example, the shift occurs one direction or the other, positively or negatively, the impact is almost immediately, and that's all you hear for the next few days. They're all talking about why now everything was bad, when a week ago everything was great. And then a few days later, it goes back the other way because something comes out and says, oh, well, we got a surprise, the job growth was better than we expected, or we put more people to work, or whatever has happened, now looks more positive. And then, boom, we get this kind of burst in the market. The last couple of days, we've had huge increases in stock prices merely because the Fed has indicated, and again, indicated, and it probably will, it's more likely now to say that we're going to lower interest rates as our next move than raise them. And if you're going to lower interest rates, that is theoretically positive for the stock market. So if the news comes out that this is the Fed's intent, if you are a speculator and you're looking out at the next few months, you get news the Fed is going to lower its rates in the future, that bodes well for the stock market. Well, then you put your money back to work in the stock market to take advantage of what you hope to be that upward move.
Of course, the president has been pitching it and tweeting and talking about it. He's supposed to be kind of separate from the Fed, but he's been kind of nudging Powell to lower interest rates because he thinks that the stock market will go up, and he's probably right, and it'll be better for him a year from now when they're running.
Sure.
Yeah,
and I think that's all he cares about at the moment is his rationale. His rationale for asking the Federal Reserve to lower rates isn't based upon an economic fundamental or how it would benefit the broad United States or the public.
No, of course not. No.
It's more about just the perception, again, like you said, that, okay, if we're going to create an environment where we can put pressure on the Fed to talk about a lower interest rate environment, the stock market's going to go up, and then I can point to that and say, look what I did. Stock market has thrived on my administration, and therefore I should be reelected. That's what he's going for.
From the motion picture, this is not going to end well. We've talked about Illinois for years, some of the weird things they've got going on there with their pension funds and their debt. It's just massive. I just don't know what these people are thinking. Anyway, so they just did a thing, Fred, here. The House of Representatives voted to deal 73-44 along party lines. It's going to end up on the ballot next year for all Illinoisans to vote on, that they are going to be able to do a big trouble kind of progressive tax. They don't have that now on the ballot on the Constitution to change the Constitution. I don't understand what that is.
I'm not sure what that's about. You're talking about specifically the state of Illinois?
The state of Illinois, they're going to put a thing on a ballot for next year, whether a progressive tax structure is allowed or not. They don't have a progressive tax structure now?
Apparently not. So progressive meaning that if you earn more money, you pay more money, as opposed to a flat rate that they might have there.
Constitutional amendment will only determine whether a progressive tax structure is allowed or not. The actual progressive tax rates will come later. Oh, this is great. Support the amendment.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, could you imagine voting for that? You think Illinois?
Well, no, I can't.
How are they going to save themselves?
They might have to do this. They might be looking at their revenue stream and saying, okay, like a lot of
states
and a lot of municipalities, we're broke and we don't have any way to raise the money we need, so we have to revisit where we can get money from. Desperate times require desperate measures. So the United States as a whole faces the same problem. This is one of the things that concerns me, is what choices will be made in the future to deal with the fact that we have this extraordinary amount of debt. My particular feeling is that instead of trying to raise the revenue we need nationally through tax increases, we're going to do it by printing money. I don't see any other way out of it.
You think the Fed will bail them out?
One way or the other.
Yeah, those monetize it, right? They'll monetize the whole thing.
Well, the monetizing a debt is a strange thing. The Fed gets to decide what it can monetize. It used to be only able to monetize government debt obligations. Now it can monetize whatever
anything
it decides is good money. So after 2008, it said, okay, we have bad debt instruments on the balance sheets of major banks in the United States. Mm-hmm. We're going to buy them at full face value, even though they're worth about a tenth of what the face value is. And we're going to say that they are legitimate debt instruments that we can monetize, and therefore we're going to print money against them as if they were good debt instruments. and we'll put them on our balance sheet, that is the Fed, and eventually we will sell them off into the open market over time. Well, it's been 11 years, and the Fed is still sitting on $3.9 trillion worth of the $4.5 trillion.
They can't dump it, right?
They can't. They tried, but to try to sell off that debt.
Who wants it?
Who wants it, right? To try to do that at the same time that the government is running these massive deficits is sort of contradictory. You can't do both at the same time.
Right.
And the Fed realized that.
So whose deal is that, Fred? Could Powell wake up one morning, the chairman, and now he works for the government. Federal Reserve Bank of New York is private, but Powell is a government dude. Could he wake up and say, well, I think we should just monetize the student loan, $1.5 trillion, whatever it is, and get these kids out of debt, and we'll just create the money and buy them?
He could.
Can he do that?
Sure. He has to get congressional approval, but I guarantee that it... Yeah, I mean, the Fed can choose what it monetizes, but you know, it's going to have some legal ramifications. So they have to get tacit authorization from Congress, and it doesn't take anything.
Like they did with TARP. They had to go to Congress to get the money, $800 billion for TARP.
They do. So, I mean, it's sort of ridiculous, and I say it with this sort of, you know, sarcasm in my voice, because the idea that the Congress would not yield to the Fed chairman saying, look, the economy needs us to do X, Y, and Z, and I don't care whether you think it's palatable or not, we have to do it. So buck it up, you know, just deal with it. This is what we're doing, and that's it. And, you know, who in Congress is going to say, I understand this better than the Fed chairman, and I'm going to refute the concept that we should do this and suggest otherwise? That's just not going to get any traction. So the idea that the Fed has to get some sort of tacit approval from Congress is kind of like a given.
So how long is Powell around, Fred? How does that work? He can stay until the cows come home and the president can fire
until
him?
Until the president decides that he doesn't want him there anymore.
Oh, he could change him out?
Yep. Oh. Yep. Fed chairman is appointed by the president, so he has that authority. And this is where it gets a little confusing, because you have the Federal Reserve banks and the Federal Reserve board. Mm-hmm. So the banks are all privately owned entities. The Federal Reserve Board is a government agency where you have the 12 regional Fed banks. They rotate. You have the three permanent members, and the New York Fed is the head. And you have a Fed chairman that is appointed by the president. So the appearance is that it's a government-controlled agency, because the Federal Reserve chairman is appointed and can be removed by the president at his discretion. However, the fact that we can alter and manipulate the board members is, in my opinion, highly irrelevant. It's the banks that make the decisions. It's the banks that control the money in the end. So, yeah, I mean, it was a tacit agreement that was laid out when the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913 in order to create the impression that we were creating a government agency to solve the economic crisis of the 1920s and 30s. Mm-hmm. It is an appearance that really is not held up very well in the real world.
You're going to love this
the
one.
The reality is different than what it appears to be.
You're going to love this one. You know, one of Andy's memes have been for many years is, you know, don't save your money, right? If you save your money, it's just going to lose value. So this is a great story.
Just save it in the form of gold coins.
Yeah, of course, but not save your dollars. But young people are increasingly blaming climate change for not saving for retirement. So they they say that because the world won't exist when they retire because of climate change, there's no need to save any money.
Okay. Well, under that argument, I like it. That's the default argument. And if you're going to be a defeatist in that respect, then okay. You know, it's like the people who thought Y2K was going to be the end of the world who said, well, I'm running up all my credit card debt. I'm not repaying it because the world's not going to be here anyway. Guess what? You were wrong. And I don't think that these young people who really think that the world's going to be gone by the time they're grown up, I think they're going to be faced with a little reality check at some point. Yeah.
Another little story here that you can't make up. Facebook bans CrossFit group for advocating low-carb, high-fat diet. Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that? How is that even possible?
That doesn't make any sense to
me. It doesn't make any sense. Well, what does... Did you see that the whole... the Google thing was down? And the whole, 4 hours on Sunday?
No.
You didn't see that? Yeah, the whole Google the whole Google Cloud thing, it was all just...
Wow.
Yeah, just 4 hours on Sunday, 4 hours Sunday afternoon.
Well, you know, we rely on technology so dramatically that, an interruption in it.
What
a nightmare.
Oh, man. Well, Mr. Fred, good job, man. We had a good time this morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. What are you going to do today?
You.
Anything fun?
Today, I am going to work on some gold coins. I have a couple of interesting things that I wanted to make available. We did really, really well in terms of the response to the 4 and 8-piece gold sets.
Oh, cool.
So I have reassembled those. The current prices of gold have gone up about $40 an ounce on the spot side, but I still have a few of these that we put together prior to the recent movement, mm-hmm. so I will offer them at the same price we did in the last round.
So why don't you tell us what it is.
Sure. It's a two separate 4-piece gold sets, mm-hmm. and they're comprised of a $2.50 gold coin, a $5, a $10, and a $20 gold piece. That's mm-hmm. one of each size. These are all mint condition, MS63s. They are certified NGC graded coins that we have picked out from the large selection of the existing examples to make sure that they hit the IFPLN that we really enjoy as a company. Mm-hmm. And there are two types. There are the Indian head type, which are referred to as Indian heads because they actually have the Native American image on the front. And then we have the Liberty head type, which are the earlier pieces that were produced with just merely the head of Miss Liberty in a larger fashion featured on the front of the coin.
So folks can let me see if I understand. Folks can get the 2.5, 5, 10, and 20 in a Liberty or Indian?
Correct.
Okay.
And they are choose. Separate. They can choose or put them together for the complete 8-piece set.
Okay.
So the Liberty set itself runs a total of $3,875.
Okay.
And this is an excellent way for either a newer investor or somebody who's looking to kind of get involved a little bit for maybe the first time, because it gives you one example of each of the standard American gold coin sizes. From that, it's a nice foundation that you can kind of build on and work toward rarer coins and other things in addition.
Fun.
The Indian headset, a little bit more expensive at $4,400 for the 4 pieces in the Indian headset itself.
Okay.
And if we combine them together, we have the complete 8-piece gold set for $8,275.
That's what I want. I want that one. Sign me up for that.
I love that set. I really do.
That's really nice.
I think it's
eight
really
coins,
kind of
right?
Cool.
You're going to get the Indian and then
all the Indians and all the.
And you're going to get a 2.5 gold, $5 gold piece, $10 gold piece, $20 gold piece, MS63. Tell folks what that is. I mean, that's like primo, man.
It's nice. It's mint condition.
Mint.
So that means that when a coin is graded as mint, it doesn't mean it hasn't been touched. It means technically that there is no wear of any of the details that were struck on the surface of the coin when the dyes and planchets first came together.
So it was in circulation at one point.
It may or may not have been.
Okay.
But what happened is if it did go into circulation, nowhere occurred on the coin by its handling. So if most cases, these were never in circulation, they were put away almost immediately by somebody and saved.
Gotcha.
Or if they made it into the market, they were rarely handled to the point where nothing took away from the 100% of all the details that were struck originally on the coin are completely visible. Now that would merely be a mint state 60. As a mint state 63, these are higher up that mint state scale, and that's an indication of the little surface scratches and contact marks that are typical on even mint condition coins. They're not perfect.
Like if you had a magnifying glass, you could see a little bit of
stuff. You could actually find a few little surface scratches and contact marks across the field. Mm-hmm. That is normal for coins because they were literally dropped through meat chutes on top of each other into these big barrels and then rolled up into rolls and bags and then sent over to the banks and then distributed to the public. So even in the manufacturing process, the coins kind of banged against each other a little bit.
Yeah.
So high-grade mint condition coins are fewer and far between than the lower grade ones, which have many more of these contact marks. So these are a mint state 63. It's a high grade mint condition coin, nearly free of any major detracting marks. They will have a few little minor surface scratches, but for the novice, I mean, they're mint condition. They really are attractive looking coins, fully struck. You can see every little bit of detail on them. And again, we're getting back to coins from the original pieces in the United States. It's an example of each of the standard size gold coins. And for those that have an 8-piece set, there are a couple of interesting side pieces. There are three little $1 gold coins, and then there's the wonderful $3 gold piece, which maybe we'll talk about in the next show.
And so what years are we talking about, Fred, from the 2.5 to the 20?
The Indians start 1907 to 1932, mm-hmm. and the liberties will go between mostly from the 1890s through 1906.
Wow. And were these the coins that people would get if they wanted to trade in their dollars back in the 20s or
something? These were regular money. Right? This was money that people used and spent every day, the way you and I use common change in the current world. Before 1933, you know, you'd walk into a store with a $2.50 or a $5 gold coin, and you spent it, you know, the way.
How did they give change for those? How did they do that?
You know, in silver.
Or
in, you know, smaller gold coins.
My goodness.
So you get little silver dimes or quarters or half dollars or 3 cent pieces or whatever the case may be to make up the.
Just for fun, how many ounces of gold, Fred, you're getting in these four pieces?
Well, let's see. The $20 a 1 ounce. The 10 is a half. The 5 is a quarter.
Oh, you know, kid.
And so it's 1.85 with each. So 1.85 twice, 3.7 or so ounces of gold. But the value in these is more than merely the content of gold. They're made of by virtue of two variables. One, they can't make any more of these. Whatever was produced back when they were minted is the total supply that could ever exist for every future generation. And that these have been graded and certified, sealed in NGC holders as Mint State 63. So that also separates the supply of them from the generic market.
Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. You said there's 3.7 ounces?
Well, let's see. It's
that can't be right, because that's $5,000. That's more than you're asking. So
yeah, sorry. So
you're going to lose money here, kid. Don't do this.
I'm just kidding. Plus,
must have not added that correctly on the ounces.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
That's right.
Yes, we've got one half, a quarter.
So 1 plus 0.25 plus what? I got my calculator.
Yeah, 1 plus a half.
So one
that's
and a half.
One and a half plus the quarter, that's 1.75, plus the 2.5, which is 0.12. So it's about 1.85 ounces.
Okay, that sounds better.
Times 13
in each set. Yeah,
right.
So you got about $2,500 worth of gold, right, in each set. Correct?
1300 and doing the math.
Yeah. Is that right?
Almost $5,000 worth of gold in the double set.
The double set, yeah.
Right.
I see. So there's. That's why it's a...
Yeah, I was right.
It's a collectible numismatic where most of the value, or half of it at least, is in the rarity of it, not just the gold, right?
That is correct.
So come the revolution, these are not the kind of coins you would be trading to your neighbor for a loaf of bread or anything.
No, and I don't really see that as an event. Although if that were the case, I think the silver coins would be more appropriate for that.
These are
the kind of investment coins that people accumulate because they're, again, trying to say, I'd rather have, you know, $8,275 worth of gold coins than I would in U.S. dollars, because I think 10 years from now, to replace this $8,275 worth of gold coins is going to cost a lot more in paper dollars than the current price that exists at today. So,
well, good job. Okay, and so they would just call 800.
I hope we didn't confuse anybody.
No, I think we got it. Plus, I've written it down, and I'll talk about it again until you tell me stop. Okay, I'll mention it during shows tomorrow and the rest of the week.
I have a handful of these left.
Okay.
Once they're sold out, I need to replace the new inventory, which will be possible, but the prices will reflect the current new price of gold.
All right. So you let me know when I should stop talking about these. Pretty good deal.
You betcha.
I like it. Well, Fred, good job. Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
say
Diana
hi
Patrick.
To everybody, to Donna, Gina, and the whole crowd. And we will see you 2 weeks from today, right?
That would be great.
The 14 and 5 would be... 19th of June, I think so. Fred Jaschewski.
I will not dispute your mathematical
abilities. Well, I just added that. See you. Thanks a lot, brother. We see you. Thanks a lot. Okay, take care. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, Fred Jaschewski. Good job. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please pass on these links to everyone that you care about. We're going to have fun tomorrow. We're going to be talking about ashwagandha, which is a wonderful herb, and also... detoxification, autism, some really cool things that Dr. Toko is doing. So we have a great show for you tomorrow. Gets underway at 9:00 Central Time. Please pass on again the links to our show. Go on our Facebook page and like the stuff and introduce people to One Radio Network. And we love to have new folks all the time. And we appreciate your ongoing support of promoting you know, of supporting people like SDL and all the different people, and that's how we make our living, because we get a little commission on stuff. So we really appreciate it. I love you all very much. Good job. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow, and may the blessings be. Hold on, Fred. Hold on.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.